Fellaini goes up. Can he get the shot off? Fellaini! What an impact from the substitute with an absolute screamer into the roof of the net. Oh, he's done great there. Here's Blint. Can he find a red shirt? Blint back to Young.
Back post.
Young's cross. Fellaini! The big man's done it. United have come from behind and they lead at Old Trafford. United 2, City 1.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the United Podcast. I'm Sam Homewood and with me is...
Helen Evans.
But no...
David May.
But we're going to be joined by...
Marouane Fellaini.
Should we stop doing that now? Has that annoyed everybody enough?
No, I actually loved that.
Did you? Excellent. No Maisie, because he's nursing himself, isn't he?
Yes.
But he'll be okay. But we have got Fellaini, who is a sort of, I think, for a certain period, a huge figure at Manchester United, figuratively and literally.
An iconic Manchester United player, as well.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Yeah.
Massive hair.
Well, we will find out if he still has that hair.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does.
No, but
spoiler alert.
Yeah, it was a real thing at the time, wasn't it? The wigs at Old Trafford.
Yeah, no, everybody used to walk around with the wigs on. Yeah, I'm excited to speak to him.
Me too, because he came in, obviously, with David Moyes. And I think, obviously, that season was a disaster. And he got so much grief, I think, because he was David Moyes' only signing until Mata in January. Obviously, Wilfried Zaha came that summer, but Sir Alex had bought him in the January before. So he was really like the focal point of that whole summer. And because it was David Moyes' first season, Sir Alex had gone, we were linked to everybody, weren't we?
I think people expected David Moyes to come with more signings as well, didn't they? Because people were saying, you know, the players were getting older and all that kind of thing. So there was a lot of pressure on Fellaini, and it happened so late on in the window as well that people had such a high expectations that something was going to happen. There was going to sign 3-4 players, and then obviously we only signed one player and that was him. So there was a lot of pressure on his shoulders in that season.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to get his view of that. But also, I suppose for him, he'd been with Everton 5 years, been with David Moyes 5 years. David Moyes then comes and it falls apart and he comes at United. So for him, I wonder what it was like watching David Moyes sort of fail, having been with him for so long.
And Phil Neville, of course.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he won a load of trophies under Louis van Gaal and Mourinho and had a great career. And eventually, I think, was loved by fans.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I bet you he would love to be here today.
Well, Fellaini, yeah, absolutely. Because this morning, we're doing this podcast at Old Trafford. We're doing it on Zoom with Marouane Fellaini. I should warn you in advance, the sound is not as good as it will be now while Helen and I are talking for various
technical
reasons.
Issues.
Yeah, precisely. So beware that it will dip. So sorry about that. But we're doing it this morning. It's the morning Manchester United are playing Liverpool in the FA Cup quarterfinal.
So excited.
Yeah, me too. And all of you listening obviously know we went on to win the game 5-0. Yeah. But right now, Helen and I just don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, I know. I love these games though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. Also, a perfect person to come on because obviously he was at Everton, which means he already didn't like Liverpool.
Yeah, I know. That's true. He had double hatred. Did you watch the Wolves-Coventry game, by the way?
I saw bits of it.
Yeah, that was exciting.
That was exciting. I wanted
Hopefully Wolves... ours isn't as exciting.
No, I wanted Wolves to win though.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Wolves are an important team for me.
Oh, right.
They were my granddad's team.
Oh, right.
And he was the only person in my family up until I was born that cared at all about football. No one else in my family cared about football.
So what you're actually trying to say is that you're a closet Wolves fan?
Well, not a closet Wolves fan. I'll happily tell people.
You've got a soft spot for them.
Yeah, because he spent my whole childhood trying to get me to support Wolves. I had a Wolves goalie kit once that he bought me. But I was always telling him, like, it's fine. Like, sure, yeah. I think Wolves are fine, but they're not my team. Yeah. I don't love Wolves. But if there's another team I want to win, it's Wolves every time.
That's brand new information.
There you go. You're happy to do what you like with that. If Wolves is the team I like most out of all the other teams that aren't Manchester United. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I don't really pay attention. I just hope when they play, they win.
It's okay. Well, you don't have to justify yourself.
We've got too deep into Wolves now, haven't we? That's not what this is about. Let's get him on.
Here he is, Marouane Fellaini.
So obviously you've just retired.
It's different, you know. It's different, you know. The routine is not the same anymore. So now I'm living in Dubai and try to enjoy my family. So I will wait till the summer to see what I will do. So at the moment, I'm just trying to enjoy my family, to have a cool time and do different things.
Why Dubai? Why have you guys decided to settle on Dubai? I mean, I know there's...
Yeah. The reason Helen, why I would want to live there.
While we were sat here, Helen just said, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, I've got a few things to do. What are you doing? She goes, I'm going to Dubai.
Love Dubai.
Yeah, well, in Dubai, because of the first of all, of the weather, you are guaranteed to have the good weather. And as well, to enjoy life as well. And it's safe, you know. My parents are quite old, so it's good to be there. It's safe. The weather is always good, you know. So for the moment, I'm there, but I think with the time, I will move. That's it.
So when you said you're going to wait to the summer, so I guess that's when the season ends, is your plan to stay in football in some capacity?
Yes, yes. I will wait some opportunities, you know. I have some touch, but like I said, I just wait the end of the season till the summer and see what I can do, you know. But I'm not planning to be a coach, that's for sure.
Not the coaching route? Maybe the podcasting route?
Well, let's see. I don't know yet, but to be coach is very complicated. It's not for everybody.
What was it in the end that made you decide to hang up your boots?
One day you have to stop, you know. I had opportunities to come back to Europe, to go Saudi, to go to Dubai. But in the end, you know, one more year or two more years. Now I was tired physically and mentally too, because I played 5 years in China in the end of my career. And I had the COVID time there too for 3 years. It was like 6 years, you know.
So let's start at the very beginning. Let's find that journey and get you to China. So talk to us about growing up in Belgium.
Yeah, I think in Belgium, I started to play football in the club at 7 years old, you know. And I did all my class till 17, till I arrived to Standard de Liège. And I did one year in Standard de Liège at under 21. And after that, I start, they put me in the first team. And after a few months, I started to start professional at 18 years old. To grow, you know, it was simple. Now I played in the small teams, and I grew up like this. I was in the school every day. My dad was very strict for that. You know, he wanted me to have a diploma. It was important for him, so I did it. But after the diploma, I just said to him, "Okay, leave me alone with that. I want to focus on football," and it's what I did. You know, I focused on football. I gave everything to succeed. You know, train a lot. With my dad, with my teams, and okay, that's what I did, you know. But it was not easy in the beginning, of course. I had good times, bad times, but that's part of football, you know. Like in professional too, you have good times, you have bad times, up and down. But my dad was always had the right word to keep me motivated.
I know that your dad was a keen footballer too, a goalkeeper, is that correct?
Yes, yes, he was an ex-goalkeeper. So I think he knew what he was doing. He knew how to talk to me. He knew how to train me as well, you know. And he was believing in me.
But he didn't want you to be a goalkeeper, no?
Yes, when I was younger, I liked it to be in the goal. But my dad said, you know, goalkeeper is one post. To play on the field, he stand. So more easy to succeed.
If not a footballer at this point, what were your interests? What would you be doing? Obviously, you've mentioned that education was important.
Yes, but you know, I was good at running for long distance. I always say that, you know, I was a marathonian, you know, so I had a good physical attribute to run. Never give up, you know. But about that, I don't know what I would do, you know. I was focused on football. I loved football. I did it, so the rest doesn't matter.
Which football team did you and your family support when you were younger?
To be honest, I didn't support a team, but I like it to watch big games, you know. I loved to watch big games, Champions League games, you know. I always remember the game in 98 with Manchester United with Dortmund, you know. I was 10 years old, and yeah. It's always great to watch Champions League. Still now, when I watch Champions League on TV, it's wow.
You mentioned Standard Liège, so let's talk about it. When you signed your first contract, what was that moment like for you?
Yeah, amazing, you know. They give you the first an opportunity to be professional, you know, to be with the first team, to train with them. But okay, this is the small step, because after that you have to work even harder to be in the team, to play, to have another contract. So yes, but it was good. It was good because I sit up quickly and I start to play after it. After the summer, I start already to play in August. My first appearance was 20 minutes or 10 minutes, not 10 minutes. And after it was the Champions League again against Steaua Bucharest. So it was already a big game. And after that, I was never playing every game, you know. So I think I settled very well in the beginning. I gave it all for the team, for the coach. And I think it was a really good step to start like this.
What about the location? Was that close to where you were from in Belgium?
But all my family moved to the city.
Okay. So
it was easy for me to adapt.
Yeah.
You know, when you are young, it's always good to have the parents, the brothers. So it was easy for me to settle.
How big is your family? Who's in it?
I have two brothers and my parents.
And are they keen footballers too?
Yes, when I was younger, we played football together with my dad, you know. I have two brothers, so we all always was in the park playing football, you know, doing two against two or three against one. So it was always fun, you know?
Which position did you play growing up, and when was your final position established, I suppose?
I started to play in front, not like a striker, behind the striker, in front. But in the hand, I was a midfielder, you know. I was a midfielder. The last year, when I was 17 years old, I played center back in Standard de Liège. And in the hand, they put me in the middle, defensive midfielder.
Where did you prefer to be?
In Standard de Liège, the first 2 years, I played defensive midfielder, you know. But Everton bought me. I was a defensive midfielder. So when I arrived in Everton as well, I played the defensive midfielder. And but I can go to the box because I have its capacity to run, to arrive in the box. But with injuries of the team, Moyes decided to put me behind the striker. And in the end, it turned that I scored goals, was important in the box. So I played as well behind the striker.
Before we jump to that Everton move, there's just one question I wanted to ask you. Obviously, you played in Belgium professionally for 2 years before you moved to Everton. During that time, you made, I think, 84 appearances for Standard Liège. You scored 11 goals, but you also won the Ebony Shoe. For people who don't know what that is, could you tell us a bit about it? And did that mean a lot to you?
Yes, it's always nice to win something, but they say it's the best player from the origin from Africa. Because we're going in Belgium, we have a lot of cultural football players, you know, origins, a lot of origins from Africa, from different countries. So they was giving this prize. Okay, it was nice to win it. But the most important for me, it's always win together. We win the league. We went to the first year of my professional career. I went to the final of the cup, but we lost it against Bruges. Okay, this football, you win, you lose. Huh? And the second year, we win the league. So for me, it was a big win, you know. The club was waiting for that for 25 years. So it was a big, big for them. And we win it with just a young team, you know. We're talking about the players of 18, 19, 20 years old. The oldest one was 26, you know, so it was amazing.
So in 2008, of course, you mentioned that Everton came in for you. Was that a process that had been going on for a couple of seasons, a couple of windows, or was that the first time you heard of it in that window?
No, it was the first time. We played the Champions League with Standard Liège against Liverpool. It was a tight game. We lost last minute in Anfield 0-1. And I think if we win it, I don't go to Everton because I played Champions League with the Standard Liège. But Everton came with a big offer. It was at that time a big offer, one of the biggest in Belgium. And it was difficult to say no. For the club and for me too, because after 2 years, you know, we was one of the best team in Belgium. And it was for me maybe the time to go.
You became the most expensive Belgium player in history. But were there any other rumoured clubs? Did you speak to anybody else? Because at the time, there were rumours that Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, and even Manchester United were maybe interested.
Yes, it was a lot of teams because I told you we was one of the best team in Belgium. A lot of young players, so a lot of scouts come to watch. But Everton was the most. They came in the last day or with a big offer. They negotiate all day, all night, till the hand they get me. So okay, in the beginning it was stressful for me because it was the first time to move. It was the last second. But okay, in the end I said, it's Premier League. It's the best football in the world. Let's go and we will see how it go.
But I think it went quite well because you seem like such a natural fit for the Premier League because you've mentioned your physicality already. And also, I think maybe helped a little bit by your hair. You became a fan favourite so quickly at Goodison Park. Did you feel that relationship with the fans?
Yes, you know. But the most important with the fans is to play good, you know, to be important for the team. So I think... I arrived in Everton in the beginning was difficult because Everton was bottom of the league. We was not playing good. It was difficult, a lot of injuries. But I remember one moment in my first season, we went to Tottenham and we win there 0-1. And after that, we start to win nearly every game. And the first season, we finished fifth. We went to the final of the FA Cup. So it was an amazing season, you know.
And David Moyes, obviously, he made you feel welcomed and loved from the very beginning. How was your relationship with him?
Yeah, it was very good. You know, he's the coach who believed in me to bring me in England, you know, from a small country like Belgium. It was not always a Belgian player going to England. Now, yes, but before at that time, no. So he believed in me. He pushed me, he trained me, he teach me. So. For me, it was good to have him.
And what was the big difference that you noticed, perhaps, in the training styles when you moved from Belgium to England? Did you find the physicality a lot different?
Yeah, the intensity of the Premier League is very high and is very high every year. So yes, it was the intensity, you know. And in England, you have to play nearly every 3 days. You know, okay, Everton was not playing the Champions League and the Europa League the first year, but still with the FA Cup, Carling Cup, we have a lot of games.
Because of your size and the position you played, and you talk about the intensity of the Premier League, did you ever feel targeted by referees?
You know, I remember my first year I had 12 yellow cards. I have 12 yellow cards. And after five, six yellow cards, the club decided to bring some referees to explain me why. But in the end, half of the cards, of the yellow cards was a mistake of the referee. But okay, but the football, you know.
I wonder if it was ever one of those things where they have their meetings where they'd have highlighted you and said, watch what Fellaini's doing, look how big he is, look how he uses his body. And so the referees might have been looking at you a lot more than everybody else.
Yeah, maybe. But in the end, what I can do, you know. You know, the guy, sometimes they grab me on the 18 box, you know, you can just try to defend myself sometimes to be free, you know, it's not easy when they grab you, you know, what I can do, push two, to grab two, you know, so it was not easy, but in the end, every year was better and better and better with the referee, football.
You've mentioned your relationship with David Moyes, so... The reason we're here, obviously, is because this is the United podcast. So let's talk about your time with Manchester United. I'm hoping you can tell us this story and fill in the gaps for us. So Sir Alex Ferguson announces he's going to retire. You're playing for Everton. Then you learn that your manager, David Moyes, the man that brought you to Everton, is going to go to Manchester United. Then when he joins, there are rumours of every player who is semi-professional is going to join United. But the only person who joins that summer is you. And the talk in the press was that if United signed you in the first half, you would have, I think, made more money. Or as it was, because you joined later in the window, that you personally sacrificed money to make sure the move happened. Is that what happened and what was that process like?
No, it was not that. It was real close for Everton. Everton, if they sold me in the month of July, it was a certain price. After that, it should be more expensive. That's what the thing. But in the end, I don't decide that. It was between the club, you know.
What was it like as Everton players when you first heard that David Moyes would be leaving, firstly, still thinking as an Everton player?
Yes, it was tough because, you know, he was there for 10 years or more, I think 10 years. And he was doing very well at Everton, you know. Well, he was always behind the top four, the top five, you know. So Everton don't have the same budget as the top four, top five, but he was doing well. We go two times in the final of the FA Cup, semi-final often. So I think for a club like Everton was good.
Was there a part of you that thought, well, if he's going, he picks me every week, maybe I'll be able to go too?
Yes, this is what I heard. This was on the press, you know, and I was lucky to go. So I will always be thankful to David Moyes. But in the end, okay, because it's football, you know. He did just 10 months in Manchester. I think they didn't give him enough time to settle his team. But this is part of football, you know. In big teams like Manchester United, you need the result, you know. All the coach who came, it's if you don't do result, you're out. This is football.
Did you feel any extra pressure or external pressure because you were the only signing made that summer?
That's the reality. That was the truth, you know. The first year at Manchester United was very difficult for me because, like you said, I was the first signing after the era of Ferguson. And, you know, it was not easy, you know. I'm honest, you know. And I always said that, you know, the first year was very difficult for me. But for the team too, you know. We did a bad season, you know. So, okay, after that, it was much, much better, you know. You know, I knew my teammate, I knew the club, I knew how to work with this situation. And I think after that, last 4 years and a half, I did a good job.
Obviously, for you, you'd been at big clubs already. But moving to Manchester United is a little bit different.
Yes, of course. Of course, already there, already when you arrive to Manchester United, you have to win every game. You have to win every game. You have to win, try to win all the competition, you know. Still, if it's a small competition, you have to win it. You know, the supporters are demanding, you know. They will need a certain type of football. So, yes, it's not... it's a big club, you know. So it's like Real Madrid, Barcelona. You need to win every game. So it's an amazing experience, you know. Me, I love the pressure. So for me, it was amazing to be there, to spend 5 years and a half there, and to win some competition. Shame we didn't win the league with the Mourinho. We finished second, but we win some trophies at my time, you know.
Before you coming into the changing room. For example, the first year you're in there with Sir Alex Ferguson players, and people often talk about their mentality just being, you know, that a little bit different. Did you notice that when you made the move?
Yes. I meet all the this football players, this team ex-teammate, you know, amazing players. But at that time as well, the players getting older, you know, a lot of players was nearly in the hand of their career.
Suppose even if they are a little bit older, you know, the standards of the changing room, for example, did you notice that a big difference?
Yes, for sure. It's different, you know. It's different, more games, because you play Champions League too. So we was always away, you know. It's completely different than Everton, completely.
And who did you bond with in those early days?
Because first of all, it was Adnan Januas, because he was he's a Belgian guy. It was like he did an amazing season. I remember the first year. Patrice Evra was next to him. Antonio Valencia. I never had problem with my team, my teammates. Never. In all the clubs I passed, I never had problem. I know I'm very cool, chill. So, and I like to talk about everything. So for me, it was easy to settle. But okay, of course, when you arrive in a new team, it's not that easy. But with the time I never had problem with my teammate.
Talk to us about that first year, because you said that it wasn't easy in the end for the club. It was a bad season, and obviously David Moyes was only there 10 months. But for you personally, were there challenges apart from the football that were difficult in terms of maybe moving to Manchester, your relationship with, I don't know, the club, Everton fans, United fans? Was all of that a challenge, or was it just the football?
Yeah, everything, I think, with supporters, with football, with the club, with everything. It was a nightmare for a few months, you know. So it was not easy at all, you know. And when you are in this situation, as well, in your mental, you know, it's not good, you know. It's not easy, you know. You played 5 years for Everton, doing very well, respect from everybody, and you go to a big club, and mentally it's difficult. Your football is not the same. So it was not an easy season, you know. For me, it was the worst in my career, my first season in Manchester, mentally too.
And obviously for you, you'd have 5 years under David Moyes and then a sixth year under him at Manchester United. So then you hear the news that Louis van Gaal will come in. So that's a change for you, because you'd been used to one manager, even at two different clubs.
Like I said, I would never criticize David Moyes because he gave me my chance in England. I played under him, you know, nearly every game. So for me, it's not a problem. Okay, when Van Gaal arrived, it was a new change. A coach, first of all, he don't know football, English football. He don't know certain players. He didn't know me too. So I had to train harder to prove him that he can count on me. And what I did, you know, when he arrived, he said to me, I don't count on you. You are my 3, 4, 5 choices. And I said to him, no problem, you know, let's train. And in my head, I was saying, let's train and we will see in the end what's happened. And after 1 week, 10 days, maximum 2 weeks, I started to play. So for me, in the end, is the pitch, you know, we talk.
Lots of players, ex-players that we've spoken to, realised that it was obviously a big change tactically when he came in. But people also say that they learned a lot under his guidance, because it was a totally different type of football. Would you agree with that?
Yes, yes. Tactically, it was good, because we had a lot of video meeting, so to show us how he wants us to play, how to correct us too. So he showed the good things, the bad things, and he was straightforward. You know, he said to the players directly what he think. So I think it was good.
Obviously, you've had a lot of managers in your career. What is it that you personally want from a manager? Do you want that kind of analytical response, or would you prefer someone who was a little bit more hands-off and just let you play the game?
In football, you always learn, you know. That's good, you know. All managers have different ideas, you know. Like Moyes, Mourinho, Van Gaal. Everybody is different. So you always learn. And me, I just focus to win the game. So if the coach say like this, we will win. We go like that. What you can do? He's the boss of the boat, you know. So for me, it's always good. And sometimes it's good as well to change the manager. I don't say every year, every 2 years. I think Manchester now have to as well to stick with one coach for a few years and you know, build something, you know. Because since I know Manchester United, they change a lot of managers.
Well, we sit here this morning, Marouane, and it's before Manchester United against Liverpool, of course. And it seems quite quiet in here, but I know in a couple of hours it will be chaos out there. What are your memories in playing in those games, and how did that compare to an Everton-Liverpool game?
Both are big games, you know. Manchester is a Everton Liverpool is a derby. The city, Manchester Liverpool is one of the biggest games in the world. So, yes, it's always amazing to play this kind of game in Old Trafford and in Anfield. You know, a big pressure, big games, big intensity. The contacts are very, very, very strong. So, yes, it was a good time.
When you watch those games on TV, are those the sorts of games you think, oh, those are the games that I want to be involved in, you know, as a footballer?
Of course, when you watch this kind of game, it's an amazing feeling, you know, to go to play in Old Trafford and to play in Anfield. Plus, when you win, it's even better.
Well, on winning, in 2015, you scored the winner against City. And there's a photo of you winning the ball totally cleanly. I don't think anyone could say there's anything wrong with it, from Pablo Zabaleta, that is posted everywhere every time we play City. What are your memories of scoring goals in those big games?
Like, again, it's an amazing feeling, you know, to score against a big piece of golf, because now Man City is a big club, you know. It's a big team, winning a lot of trophies, you know. So, yes, it was always good to win first and to score a goal. The vibe, the adrenaline, the emotion, it's unbelievable.
What would you say would be your favourite goal that you scored here at Manchester United?
Well, I don't have a favourite goal. I scored some... my first goal for Manchester was beautiful. But I had some important goals, you know. Semi-final Europa League in Old Trafford. It's important goal to go to the final, because in the end of the game, he was struggling. In the Carling Cup as well, to go to the final. In the FA Cup too, in Wembley against Everton. It's important goals, because you go to the final. So I had some important moment, you know, in Manchester United.
Let's talk about those trophies, and we'll start with the FA Cup. What was it like winning the FA Cup?
It was my first trophy in England, so it was my first trophy, so it was a good moment. You know, it was tough because we played in the last second against Crystal Palace, 120 minutes. We was losing. It was not easy, but it's a final, so it's a tight game.
It was one of those strange ones, wasn't it? Because the final whistle went and we've won the FA Cup. And then when did you in the dressing room start hearing the stories that Louis was placed as manager?
Yes. But in the beginning, we were not believing it. But in the end, after 2-3 days, it was done for Jose Mourinho. But when you hear Mourinho, well, he's a big coach, you know. I have respect, have a big respect for Van Gaal, you know. He did a good job. I think he did a good job, you know. To build a team, you need time, you know. But like I said, it's a big club. They want the result fast. Okay, they choose Jose Mourinho, and he did quite well too, Mourinho. He win trophy. Like I said, to win a big competition, you have to build your team. I think Mourinho stayed 2.5 years, and he win 3 trophy. I think so. After the club decide, you know.
Europa League.
Yeah, Europa League was... it's a lot of games in Europa League. So, yeah. So, mini competition. It's a big competition too. After the Champions League, it's the main competition. And it was a good moment too. You know? A good moment. It's playing in big clubs.
You talked about how difficult that first season was. Which era at United, under whether it be Louis van Gaal or Jose, which was your favourite bit? Where did you get the most enjoyment for United?
I think the first year of Jose Mourinho, you know, we win the Carling Cup, we win the Community Shield, we win the Europa League. So 3 trophies in 1 year. I played, I think, more than 50 games, and more than half I played like a starter. So it was an amazing season for me.
What were your first impressions when Jose first came in? Had you met him before?
No, I never met him before. I played against him, but to meet him, never. But I remember he sent me a message in the summer to say to me, you go nowhere, you know, so I count on you. So first of all, this is a big boost. So when you arrive at the pre-season, it was after Euro 2016. So I was in holiday. The team was already training. And I arrived late because of the pre-season. And I was training with Ibrahimovic and another player. We was training together 1 week in Carrington. And after that, the team arrived from the preseason. But first of all, directly, Mourinho gave me his trust. So I had to give him back with everything I can.
I assume you saw it, but obviously he posted a very nice thing on Instagram when you announced your retirement to talk about how you were one of his guys.
Yeah, I had a good feeling with him, you know. So I had never had problem with him. I give everything to him. But with all the coaches, I never cheat, you know. I never had problem with the coach. I always respect their decision. But it's true with Mourinho was great to work under him.
A quick question I want to ask you. We don't see this very often. When United signed Bastian Schweinsteiger from Bayern Munich, you gave him your shirt number.
Yes, I remember Rudi Vangal came to me to ask me, Schweinsteiger, next year come, it will be difficult for you. All the coaches, you know, his players coming, a new player, more competition. And he said to me, he loved the number 31. So I said, it's no problem, he can take it because it was not my favorite number. And I started with the number 27 in Standard Liège. I like this number. I did well with this number. So I said to him, okay, you can take it if I take the number 27. That's it.
Were you a superstitious player? Did you think about things like that?
Not everybody is a bit superstitious, I think. So not a big superstition, but okay. It's my first number of my career. So I had the chance to have it back. So why not?
Had a bond with it. What did you do in your spare time in Manchester?
My spare time? Recovered, because we had a lot of games.
So many games.
Lot of games, recover. And you have to be ready. You know, when you have pain here, you have pain here, because football people think it's easy to be a football player, but you always have something. You can be 100%. Yeah, pain here, pain here, pain here, pain here. So you have to take care of yourself.
So we've gone through your United managers, and that now leaves us with Ole. So Jose leaves, Ole comes in. At what point did you decide, maybe this is my journey at United done?
Yeah, he arrived with other ideas. You know, he truly picked some players, important players. I don't have problem with that. You know, I was on the bench. Okay, after I had an offer from China. But, you know, this Chinese team, my ex-team, wanted me since 3 years when I was in Manchester, you know. I always had, someone calling me or coming to me to say, this club wants you, this club wants you, but I was focused on Manchester United. And when they came, when the coach Ole was there, when they came to me, I said, okay, why not? Why not? Let's see. I said, talk with the club and we will see. And okay, the club wanted to send me too, so it was easy to find an agreement. It's part of football, you know, after 5 years and a half, sometimes it's good to see something else.
Were there other offers, or was China the place you were most excited to go?
No, I had an offer. I have some offers in France, in Turkey a lot. But okay, in the end, Chinese come, another culture. I don't regret at all. I had an amazing time. Okay, like I said to you in the beginning, it was difficult during the COVID time because of the quarantines, too much quarantine, you know. But I learned a lot about myself there. I'm more calm, I'm more patient. So it's important for the future.
When you reflect back to your Manchester United career, if there was one game that you could play in again in your time here, what would that be?
Well, you know, we played this final against Real Madrid. We had the Super Cup. Shame we didn't win because it's a big game. It's a trophy. I played just, 30 minutes, 25, and I cut my eyebrow with Ramos. But in the end of the game, we pushed. We did 2-1. And I'm sure if we play 5-10 more minutes, we can draw, you know? I regret. I shame I didn't start, but this is the coach decide, you know? But yes, I regret this game because, you know, it's a final, you know? It's a trophy in the end. So, maybe this game, but a lot of games, you know, you regret because you can't win, you don't play, or you are not 100%. You know, during the career, you have a lot of up and down part of football.
With those up and downs, we talked about that first year at United being difficult. And from my perspective, just as a United fan, sometimes it seemed like you were made a scapegoat because you were that one signing in January, in the summer, for the club's problems at points that year. So maybe when you started, your relationship with the fans wasn't what you wanted it to be. But how was it by the time you left? And even now, when football fans stop you, do United fans stop you?
Yes. Now is I don't have a problem with Everton or Manchester. I don't have a problem with the fans at all. I think I did my job. I did everything I can do. You know, I pushed myself to the best I can. You know, I never cheat. This is for me the most important. All my ex-teammates respected me. All my coaches. So for me, like I said, I did my job. You know, that's the most important thing for the satisfaction for me. You know, never had problem with my teammates, with my coaches. I gave everything. Okay, shame we didn't win the Premier League, but.
I think that where you talk about being honest and not cheating, I think that's what fans realised. Because I just speaking as not, you know, not for everybody else, but just the general vibe I had as a United fan at the time, and from speaking to fans and people, that there was that little bit of resistance when you first signed to when you left. People loved you because they knew you were honest. They knew how hard you worked, and that when you were on the pitch, you gave absolutely everything.
Yes, like I said, I never cheat. I give everything, you know, and I know, you know, when you play for a big club like this, when you are under pressure, a lot of players, you know, hiding, get injured, you know, but I was always ready to play. Okay. Sometimes it was a bad time, but you have to do the job. And, like I said, I'm honest, and so this nobody can take it from me, no.
You said at the beginning of the conversation that coaching won't be the next step for you. Why is that?
Well, you know, a lot of great players want to be coach and they don't succeed, you know? So to be coach is not because you are a great player, you can be a good coach. Or you are, you know? So coach, you know, first of all, you have to be 24 hours in the office. You have to think about the players, about the club, the tactic, psychology, you know, so it's not easy. It's a big job and you have more stress. I already have stress during my career. I said, why to get again a stress? You know, you have to love it. And I respect the ex-players or big players or ex-players who are coach now or managers. It's a big job, big respect, you know. Maybe I will be coach. I don't know why. Maybe in 2 years I get crazy and I said, okay, I pass my diplomas and I try it, you know. Because I love the game too, you know?
Well, I'm excited to see what it is.
Yeah, yes, of course. Me too, I'm, you know, I'm waiting a good opportunity, you know? But I will like to work in football, of course.
Have you been back to Manchester since you left?
No. I the first year, yes, because I had my house there and I had to go there to check my things. But after that, no. Because, well, in the end, we forget, but COVID, it was 3 years, huh?
Will you be watching today?
Yes, of course.
I mean, that's the ideal thing about signing players from Everton, is they already hate Liverpool.
Yes, you know, it's we hate each other, but in the end, we try to give everything when on the pitch, and you know, to win, because the supporters are so happy after.
We're just going to finish up now, Marouane, but do you have a message for the fans who've supported you throughout your journey at Manchester United?
Yes, of course. First of all, I want to say always thank you very much for the support of the club, of the team, you know, because without supporters, the club is nothing. And the players too, you know, we need the support of the supporters or of the fans. I just want to say thank you very much. They saw that I'm honest and that I can do my job, you know, and I can be important player for the team.
Amazing.
The next time you do come to Old Trafford, you have to come and see us.
Okay, with pleasure. Thank you very much.
What a lovely man.
Very nice.
Yeah, he just seemed really relaxed and really happy just sort of chatting away.
It's because he's just living his life in the sun, having nice food. What were the other
You're big on the food in Dubai, aren't you?
I'm just big on food, Sam.
Yeah, okay.
I love food and I love sun.
Yeah, fair. Two good things.
Not that I like sitting in the sun, I just like to be around sun.
Yeah, to be around sun.
Yeah, just makes you feel better, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Anyway.
Do you know what? I really enjoyed that. I just thought he just seemed very happy just talking about his career. And it's almost like he didn't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
Like I feel like he talked about the highs and the lows.
Although he did say that the first year at Manchester United was probably the hardest of his career.
But that's what I mean. Like I don't... He didn't seem to... like, we've spoken to people before who, when we get to points like that, they really open up and you can see the effect it's had on them. I don't know, mate.
Yeah, like, he just seems like a happy guy, like, even about retiring.
Yeah, so yeah, that was really difficult. That was really tough, but yeah, fine. Like, I don't know, maybe I don't know. He just seemed very relaxed.
He said he was a more patient person after living through COVID lockdowns, because that must have been tough.
Yeah. 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 Especially being in China and being away from everybody. And of course, it started in China.
Yeah.
That must have been really scary.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I really, really enjoyed it.
Also, there was an interesting thing he said when he said about he has no regrets about going to China. And I don't think we asked a question that would have implied any regret, but it's not where you expect people, especially at his age, from Manchester United to move to.
Well, he said he had offers from France and other countries, didn't he? But
he did.
Maybe just a new challenge sometimes.
Yeah, but I think that's it. And it's nice that obviously he did it and he loved
probably
it and he really enjoyed
there
it.
With less pressure as well than the Premier League, because it's intense playing in the Premier League week in, week out. And he spoke really highly of all of his managers, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. That was really nice. Mm-hmm. What a lovely guy.
Yep, lovely guy.
I'm going to read you an email and then I'm going to show you some pictures.
Yes.
You all right with that?
Yep.
So how about this? It says, my name is Harsh Nair and I'm a portrait artist and I post portrait sketches of a lot of Manchester United players on my Instagram page, which is, you ready for a big shout out? Harsh05Nair_art. Harsh05Nair, all
at,
one word.
You forgot the at.
Oh yeah, at Harsh05. People know there's an at. It's an Instagram handle. They know that. _art. We can probably put that in the show notes and stuff. I'm attaching a few of my pieces below. Hope you like them. Thanks and regards. Thank you, Harsh. So I'm going to sort of scroll down this laptop so you can see the pictures and you can guess who they are. So picture number one, who do you reckon this is?
Anthony.
It is Anthony. Yeah, good shout. It's a very
it did
good picture.
Take until...
It, well, it took
sorry, I'm
his
a little
face.
Bit slow.
You couldn't see his face, to be fair. But no. It's a very good picture though, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
It must have taken a long time. Okay, next. Ooh,
oh,
hair.
Bruno Fernandes.
Gone early. You went just on hair.
Oh, my word. David De Gea.
You went on the hair.
Why are you not playing?
Well, because you were so keen with that one. I don't know. I'm just scrolling. All right, I'll guess this one. Unless you get in there ahead of me. So we've got hair. It's on the head.
Bailly.
It's Eric Bailly.
Eric Bailly.
So, and I think this is the last one. Easy.
Spoiler.
Rafael Varane. Knew it. Had his name at the top of the page, which is how I got that one so quickly. But they're really good. Harsh, thank you so much for sending them to us. If you want to get in touch, then
you're
remember.
You're going to say if you want to draw a picture.
If you
of
want
us.
To draw a picture, send it to us. Yeah, if you'd like to draw a picture of Helen, we would like to see it. Send it to unitedpodcast@manunited.co.uk. Feel free to post it on Instagram, tag us in it, and then we can look at it. Don't make it creepy. That's it for another episode. Thank you if you made it all the way to the end. If you want to get in touch, I just gave you the address. It's in the show notes. We'll have more coming up very soon. Leave us reviews, do all that kind of stuff. Thank you for shopping with our podcast. See you next time. Bye.
Here to the semi-finals.